Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. What happens when a man who grew up in the Maryland, D.C. suburbs becomes serious about his Christian faith through the love and discipleship of brothers and sisters in Christ? This is the journey of Glenn Camiso, a story with the backdrop of the Eiffel Tower shortly after the Twin Towers collapsed on September 11, 2001. It's a story of a man who, according to Matthew 7:24, understood Jesus' words about a wise man who built his house on the rock. We pause here, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, to remind you, dear friend, that the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the one who knows you and loves you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter how tough things might seem to be, dear one, there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, John 3:16, Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins, Romans 5:8. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life and transformed the life of Glenn Camiso, reaches out to you. Will you turn to Jesus? Will you open up your heart to the Lord and receive him? That's our prayer. And what I mean by that is, would you turn from your way and turn to God's way? That's called repentance. That's our prayer and our hope. And if you already know the Lord, look, I believe you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be lifted up today. Glenn Camiso is Senior Director of Institute Affairs in the Office of the President at MIT, where he oversees and facilitates institute-level initiatives in areas such as innovation, industry engagement, health, and communications. He's on the Faculty Advisory Board of the Octet Collaborative, a Christian study center serving MIT. Glenn received his BS in Electrical Engineering and Computer Science from UC Berkeley and an MBA from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. He lives in Quincy with his wife Cindy and their children Sophia, Tiffany, and Peter. Glenn, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me, Danny. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Well, I mentioned the Maryland, D.C. suburbs, but give us more. Where did you grow up and what was it like?
Yeah, I was actually born in Los Angeles, the city of angels. My dad was getting his PhD from UCLA. But shortly after that, he got a job at NASA in Maryland. So we moved across the country, and I grew up in a town called Bowie, Maryland. It's just outside of Washington, D.C. And, you know, just fun memories growing up there. It was close to Washington, so the museums and the sites and the history and government were all part of, you know, influential elements of growing up. And we lived sort of in the suburbs but near the woods, so memories of playing in the woods, making forts, hiking, and things like that. But also I was one of the few Asians in the area at the time, so there was that element as well, trying to fit in that capacity and, you know, just being aware of my differences as well. So a couple of different things in terms of growing up.
Who would you say, Glenn, influenced you most in your growing up years?
That's a great question. Definitely some teachers, my parents. The person that comes to mind right away is my father. As I mentioned, he was a scientist, and academics was very important to him. So I have memories of sitting at the kitchen table on Saturday morning, learning Newton's laws, physics, and him doing experiments. And so he kind of instilled curiosity, instilled an appreciation for science, instilled just the importance of the academic approach to things. So I appreciated that. He was such a hard worker, so instilled that characteristic as well. And, he always taught us that we had to do the right thing. So, a couple different things that definitely were influential in my growing up.
You talk about your father. I can feel and see the respect that you have for him. Growing up in the D.C. area, the culture, the learning that's there, what would you say happened inside as you were beginning to blossom in that environment?
Yeah. What an interesting question. I think for me, and it continues even many, many decades later, to be a journey. So in those early years, there was just a lot of exploring in terms of who I am, what are my interests, and again, having the influence of the science and the technology and the importance of that engineering. I ended up going to school to be an engineer, so there was definitely that pathway that was in place. So there was, from an academic perspective, a lot of that, but also in parallel to that, some spiritual things started emerging, and I'll maybe mention that right now.
Yeah, take us there, your faith journey. How did you become a Christ follower?
I think there are a couple milestones that just come to mind as I think about my journey to becoming a Christian. One is, because of the importance of academics, my parents put us in a private school for a season, a Christian school. The Christian part actually wasn't as important to them. It was the academic side, but it was in that space where I first heard the gospel, really. I first learned about the Bible and what it means to be a Christian, and it was in that school, and it was fifth and sixth grade. I was only there for 2 years, where at a chapel session, I stood up and to an altar call and accepted Jesus. But it had been it continued to be a little bit of a journey, ups and downs. Would go to church on occasion after that, explore church while I was in college. And then there was a dark period after college where I just really had no interest in church or things spiritual, even though there was still a little bit of a pinging in my heart that there was more there. And fast forward to 2001, and I was a consultant, and I was loving life. I was jet-setting around the world. I was living in a nice place in the nice part of Boston, and I thought I had it made. And I was sent to Paris for a year as part of a special program that my consulting firm had. And I thought it was going to be about – I was exciting. I thought it was going to be about the – exploring Europe and the language and the food and all the beautiful elements of living in France. And while all that was there, God had something else in store for me. Right before I was about to leave there, 9/11 happened. And that was a scary time. And a lot of soul searching happened. I still went to Paris about a month after 9/11, but it wasn't what I expected. I just got out of a relationship, so that was difficult. Work was difficult, working in Paris. And then, of course, it was such a hard time post 9/11, especially right then, a month later. So I was searching for something. And I ended up stumbling upon the American Church in Paris. And I actually just wanted to speak English to people at the time. And that's where I met some amazing brothers and sisters in Christ. And we studied the Bible together. And I think that's really the place where I appreciated what faith is, what faith in Jesus is, what giving our life to Jesus is all about. And that was really where transformation happened, in Paris, of all places, which from a spiritual perspective, I think is relatively dark. But God was able to work in there and work in my heart and work in the brothers and sisters who I connected with while I was there.
The Lord put you in a community.
Yeah.
Where you grew, where your faith was given clarity and then strengthened. When we come back, maybe we could talk a little bit about what the community, the vitality of the community meant to you. You're listening to Glenn Camiso. Glenn Camiso is the Senior Director for Institute Affairs in the Office of the President at MIT. You can find out more about him and his church, granitecity.org. Again, that's granitecity.org. More from Glenn Camiso when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A little girl was crying one day. A police officer saw her and said, "Why are you crying?" The girl said, "I'm lost." He said, "Do you have your parents' phone number?" She said, "No." She started to sob even more. "Do you have their address?" "No," she said. And suddenly her face changed. Her eyes lit up. The police officer inquired, "What happened?" She said, "I remember. Near my house, there's a church. And at the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, today, will you turn to the cross of Christ, where Jesus shed his blood? He was buried, yes, but he rose again from the grave. The redemptive love of Christ, who died for your sins, his arms outstretched for you today. Would you turn to Jesus, turn to the cross, and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord?
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Glenn Camiso was chief of staff to the MIT president and managed the activities of the executive committee of the MIT Corporation, the trustees, and the academic council, the academic leadership, MIT's primary governing bodies. He joined MIT in 2010. Today he is Senior Director for Institute Affairs in the Office of the President at MIT. Thanks for joining us today. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. Danny Yamashiro here with Glenn Camiso. It really is a blessing to have Glenn in studio with us. Tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment. Watch this. You can get this program in its entirety. Just go to drdanny.live. This podcast and other resources available for you to find out more about Glenn Camiso and his church, granitecity.org. Again, granitecity.org. Glenn, before the break, you were talking about a transformational time in your life in Paris. The community of believers in Jesus there, what did the vitality of that community mean to you?
Yeah, the people I met there, they were just walking the walk. You just sat with them, and you could just feel the Holy Spirit in our presence type of thing. They loved the Word, and they loved me. And for the first time, I had mentioned earlier, it was a hard time for me right then. It was a very difficult time in my life. And they prayed with me. And they sat with me. And again, we read scripture together. And it was really those actions and their desire to just be with me and love me, which just really touched me and made me think, wow, I want what they have. I want to pursue Jesus in a more intentional way.
And you've done that. You've continued on. And recently, I think you mentioned that you even had a chance to go back years later.
Yes.
And see some of your friends that were yes. there.
Yeah, it was fast forward 20 years or so, and I'm married now and have three kids, and we were fortunate to have the opportunity to go to Paris in the spring, and I had to take them to this church. So we went there, and God works in amazing ways. So we went there, and there was a guest preacher of someone I knew. From previous year, we had met him in New Hampshire, and then there he was, and it was exactly what I needed at that time too. And it was also a nice affirmation of God's work there to have this person who is just a meaningful person right then during that time to hear him preach and to connect with him and his wife. So that was neat to even be able to share my time in Paris with my children and with my wife and even recreate just the transformation that happened while I was there.
You mentioned your children. You mentioned your wife. Where were you when you met Cindy?
I was in the basement of Park Street Church in downtown Boston. She was on the leadership of the arts ministry there. I was visiting one of their sessions, one of their programs with a friend, and she just captivated me at the welcome table as she was filling out my name tag. And really, that was just the beginning. We connected a few more times at Park Street. In fact, I ended up proposing to her in the steeple of that church. As we're actually going up the steeple, the bells of the church started playing this hymn, "Oh, the Father's Love Begun." It's an old, I don't know, 5th century Christmas hymn. And Cindy turned to me and said, "This is the song I want to get married to." It's just something that she had thought about when she was in seminary. And next thing you know, I proposed to her, and another touch from God, and we had that hymn. We had a bell choir and a choir sing that hymn when we got married about 5 months after that.
Glenn, I must say, it's almost starting to sound like a movie, that it was orchestrated, that these bells go off right at the appropriate time.
Yes.
I want to press in a little bit more, if I may.
Sure.
You said she captivated you. In what way were you captivated by Cindy?
Well, she's beautiful, and her light, the light of Christ, is certainly something that I saw in her when I met her. But then when I started getting to know her, just her love for Jesus, her desire to serve God, and her love for Scripture, and it was fun, even just looking at her Bible and seeing the happy faces and underlines and all the ways that she just pours herself into God's Word was just amazing to me. So, and you know, we just connected, and in addition to all that, we enjoyed going swing dancing, and she took me on a she kidnapped me, and we went up to a to New Hampshire, to Vermont, to look at leaves that fall, and it just really led to, blossomed into this relationship. And now it's about almost 20 years later.
20 years of bliss, of more blossoming, three children. Mm. They're growing well as we've had our talks. Under what circumstances, Glenn, did God lead you to MIT?
Yeah, I had, you know, really at one level have no idea how I ended up at MIT, but it had to all be God. And I guess there are elements in my background. So I was an engineer, and so had the technology piece of it, and then I went to business school, and then management consulting, and then and that was during my time in Paris, and then shifted to doing policy work. And it was during that time that I started connecting with leadership at MIT and faculty. My job was to grow the life sciences in the Boston area and in Massachusetts, and we convened leaders from around the region in life sciences. And that's where I first met some of these now colleagues at MIT. And at one point, an opportunity came up to work in the president's office. And in fact, the story goes, my third child, Peter, was just born. We were in the hospital, and I get the phone call, and I was delirious because he was just born at 6 in the morning, and I was offered this job, and I didn't know what he was saying, so I just accepted is the joke. But really, it was the beginning of actually, you know, this now 10-year, 12-year journey at MIT, have had the opportunity, the blessing to really pursue different roles in the president's office, and also even think about what God is doing at MIT as well.
It's an interesting parallel, isn't it? The birth of Peter, mm-hmm. and the birth of your role and engagement and vital role at MIT. Were there any surprises that happened early on in those days in your transition? Yeah, at the Institute.
Yeah, higher ed is very different from my previous experiences, although it built a lot on things that I learned, whether it be the technology, especially at a place like MIT, convening folks, really, you know, I worked in government, so thinking about action and getting people on the same page. So while higher ed was different, you have faculty and you have students and you have, you know, so many things happening that we need to think about, I was able to leverage a lot of these skills that I had in previous experiences in that space.
Leveraging skills, a convergence point,
yeah,
of collective relationships, experiences, who you are, who you're becoming. The Lord in His grace often does things in our lives in an unexpected way. You can't really foresee it all. You can't plan it all. You can't conjure it all up for yourself. But the Lord moves and has moved in your heart and life. I as you talk about that, Glenn, and I want to come back to this when we return from our break, is this idea of God shaping you more like Christ at MIT,
yeah,
as a leader at MIT. How does God shape a leader in the environment that He places that person in? We'll hear that from Glenn Commisso when we return. Glenn's leadership roles at the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative, that's part of his role, the state's agency for innovation and technology sector growth, the city of Boston's Economic Development and Planning Agency, the Boston Consulting Group, and as an engineering project manager at Motorola. That's Glenn Commisso. More from Glenn. Find out more at granitecity.org. And Glenn Commisso, when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky,
leave it to me.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life
today.
Well,
here's the thing. You just never know when a convergence point may come in and things will catapult for you in life, because the Lord is working even in those unseen moments, those times when we feel like nothing really is going on. Well, there are things that are going on inside. There are things that are going on around the corner and behind the scenes that we aren't always aware of. But the Lord is working. The Lord is preparing. And the Lord shapes us in those moments when he does catapult us. You're listening to the Good Life radio show. You say, "Danny, you're sounding a bit cryptic here. What's the connection with our guest, Glenn Camisa?" Well, you're waiting for the right moment, and here it is. You can find out more about Glenn Camisa at granitecity.org. Glenn, how has God shaped you to be more like Christ through your leadership at MIT?
Yeah, something I think about a lot is what is God doing through me at MIT? And a couple things come to mind. I think, because of Christ, I have hope, I have peace, I have joy. And to the extent that I can share that, I can express that to those around me at MIT, whether it be in a meeting or whether it be in an event or whether it be in a project that we're working together, is sort of one space where my hope is that Christ will influence my leadership, my engagement. So that's sort of one piece. And another is, you know, I'm very aware that we are a body, body of Christ, and finding others in our midst who are also believers and praying with each other, encouraging each other, is something that I found very helpful as I think about my work at MIT. In fact, one of the things that we did early on is I kept on bumping into Christians at the Institute, and I felt, you know, they have these groups for faculty, Christian groups, and Christian groups for students, lots of Christian groups for students. But they don't have anything for staff like me. So I decided, you know, why don't we bring together some of us Christian staff to again, to pray with each other and even to hear what God is doing in other parts of the Institute. So we formed this, I don't know what we call it, just this group called The Table. And The Table meets every month. And that's where we have the space to pray, to hear from each other, to encourage each other, to pray for the Institute, to pray for the leadership, to pray for each other. And I've been so blessed by that group. We've now met for 4 or 5 years. And that's been a big element of my own Christian walk at MIT.
Prayer is a big part, prayer and time in the Scriptures. Why is prayer so important at a place like MIT?
For me, you know, prayer brings peace. Prayer is our connection with God. God, I think, is doing some amazing things at MIT through the work of MIT, through the people of MIT. And it's through prayer that we can continue to advance that work. And I get so much encouragement from praying with others or even just knowing that people are praying for me and praying for us. So I find it to be a such an important discipline. My wife and I try to pray every morning, and for our kids, for our work, for the world around us. And it makes such a difference, even as I start my day, to have that space with God and with my wife to pray in those ways.
When you think about Granite City Church, I'm changing a little bit here. When you think about Granite City Church, how is your heart moved?
So Granite City Church is a church in Quincy where we live. And our heart is for community. Our heart is, in fact, our mission statement regards wanting God, walking with God, and waiting for God. And that's exciting to me. And it's exciting to convene our community around that. And we are intentional about reaching out to those around us. In fact, every year we have a hoedown in our parking lot where we invite the community to come and have fun. But also, for many of them, it's the first time that they've interacted with someone from a church or been to a church. So there's things like that that are exciting. And I had mentioned the story about the bells playing before I got engaged to my wife. The first time we stepped into our church in Quincy, the worship band was playing this song, Hallelujah, Salvation and Glory. And that was the ending song of our wedding. And it was exciting. They had a gospel feel to it with a African drum and things like that. And we walked in. We had never heard it played in a church before since then. And that was, to us, just another sign from God that this was a place, this is a home for us with the believers there.
Granite City Church. Again, we've been talking about it all throughout our program, granitecity.org. The hoedown, when is the hoedown? When does it normally take place?
So it takes place the last Sunday in October. So this year it's October 30th. And we invite the whole community to come. There's a mechanical bull, there's trunk or treating, there's games and there's food. And there's music, and there's even things like we have a prayer trunk. So there's even spaces for the spiritual there. And it's become a thing in Quincy. So Quincy is the Granite City. In fact, the early Quincy Granite Association, their motto was Quincy Granite from everlasting to everlasting. And we just love that metaphor as we think about our own church and what God can do in our church.
Well, when I think of a hoedown, I think of a lot of people, but a lot of young people.
Yeah.
Children, teens, adolescents, young adults. As a father of 3 growing kids, as you think of them, what inspires you?
I have hope. And I mentioned hope earlier, and hope is one of the things that just became front and center for me in my faith. And I see them grow, and I see them, you know, go on their own journeys, similar to my own journey that I described a little bit earlier. And I'm excited for what God will do through them. I'm excited to see their own personalities and their own gifts emerge. And I'm excited to think about, wow, God can use those things. So as a parent, what I think about is, how can I just help them continue to move in that direction? And obviously, prayer is part of that. And one of the things about Granite City Church, too, is that, you know, we're thinking about, you know, we're in this new season, it seems like, of church post-pandemic. And we're in some ways doing church differently. And we're even at our church experimenting with being more dialogical in our services. And spiritual direction is something that's meaningful to me that we're incorporating more of. And I think those are the kinds of things that I think the next generation will maybe even continue more so as we kind of think about this, where church is going. So I think about them from those perspectives as well.
You mentioned something, a dialogical component to service. Share a little bit more about that or how some things might be emerging.
Yeah, dialogical preaching or dialogical service really is a two-way interaction with the people in the church. In fact, my wife Cindy is one of the pastors at our church, and she's actually really jumped in to doing that, experimenting with that in our church. And she'll frame the scripture, she'll frame the situation, but then part of it is just hearing the Holy Spirit through the people in our church and giving them an opportunity to share what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. And then she'll connect the dots, and there will be opportunities to sort of wrap things up as well. But it's allowing folks in the audience to be more participative in that space and hearing God through each other in that space.
There's something to say about that, the not only the hearing, but the processing and then the expressing.
Yeah.
Something happens to us when we speak, right? When we, in a moment of conversation or collaboration, when we say something that, almost hearing ourselves say something in that context, there's a depth and meaning to it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, and it's something that we don't think about. It's not intuitive that when we speak, something happens. God can be speaking through us, but also it's an opportunity to hear from others in the church, hear what they're going through. It's a space to hear the heart of others in the church. So that, I think, is important as well, and has been a blessing to all of us.
It's a change, I would imagine, that you're pushing the bounds of some broad acceptable parameters, that there are other discussions that go along with it. But a word that comes to mind as you're sharing this is generative. Mm. In the Spirit, that the Spirit, as he speaks to a person in the church, as the preacher is preaching dialogically, there is an engagement that takes place, and things grow together and within those who are participating. You're listening to Glenn Camiso. Find out more about Glenn at granitecity.org. When we come back in our final segment, it's important that we pray. Do you have needs for prayer? Have you experienced some roadblocks in life? Are you suffering in some way? Are you going through some struggles? Well, you're not alone. And the Lord has brought you together with us and us with you to share in this time for encouragement in Jesus. GraniteCity.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped, and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Well, you've
today.
Been hearing about Granite City Church. Glenn Camiso is an active volunteer at his church, as well as a member of the Church Leadership Council. He has a heart for spiritual direction, mentoring, men's ministries, and small group facilitation. He's especially passionate about the intersection of faith and the workplace. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Thanks for being with us today. Glenn, how does suffering and God's love relate to your life?
I think this is a core part of being a believer is how Christ works in these spaces of suffering. And a couple examples come to mind that I'll share. And I've mentioned my beautiful wife Cindy, but we've had especially her from a health perspective challenges. We suffered 3 miscarriages during our marriage, which were very painful and very difficult. She had major back surgery about, 10 years ago or so, which still is been difficult. And then she was diagnosed with cancer shortly after that back surgery. And I've just been so amazed at her faith has just been a rock in the midst of all of that, but it's still hard. And that's where we talked about prayer a lot. It was so important in those spaces. We talk about the body of believers coming together. Those are so important in those areas. We talked about having hope and having joy in the midst of these difficult times. And I'm thankful the cancer is no longer, and we're continuing to pray for that. But it's I think part of our walk is not avoiding the suffering. It's not pushing it away. It's how can we trust God and allow God to enter into those places.
Let's say a little bit more about that before we pray, Glenn. Allowing God into those spaces, opening up as a way of encouraging someone who's struggling today.
Yeah. I think especially pre-Christ, I try to do everything myself. And I think the allowing God is the process of surrendering to him, submitting to him, trusting him no matter what, giving it to him. And there's a peace that comes with that. There's a peace that comes with that surrender and that submission to him. So that's what I mean. And to just be so fervent in prayer, having people pray, having those around us join in those kinds of prayer, I think is so important in all of that as well.
Well, this is a moment for us to pray for a dear listener today who is in that place. Maybe they can describe a few things. Maybe it's indescribable. Maybe the feelings are beyond words. Glenn Camiso, would you pray for this dear listener?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are so good and so great. We thank you for your graciousness, for your love, for your peace. Lord, and there are people out there that are hurting, God. There are people there that are suffering. There are people, Lord, who are sick, who are discouraged. With this pandemic, so many people are just struggling, God. People have lost loved ones, God. People don't know you and your joy and your love. And we pray, God, that they experience that. We pray, God, for your comfort upon them. Lord, we pray, God, that you show up in miraculous ways, that you show up in ways that we can't even imagine to our brothers and sisters who are in these dark places. I just think about my time in Paris, which was so dark, that you showed up even there. You can show up anywhere, God. And we just lift that up, God. We pray for that. We pray for those who are in those places. And we thank you, God. We thank you for what you are doing and what you are going to do. We thank you, God, that you are awesome and mighty. And we pray all of these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glenn, I feel your heart. We feel your heart. And we can sense the heart of God. God's love and compassion bursting forth, emanating through you. So it's a blessing for you to minister today. Is there a scripture that you go back to again and again, particularly in this season of life?
Two come to mind, if that's okay. One is early on in my walk, I heard the scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. And that has given me great encouragement, especially as I deal with anxiety, as I deal with worrying about what other people think. So that's sort of one I keep with me. And the other is one I have in our wedding rings, Cindy and I, and it's Psalm 34:3. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And that's something that we say to each other as often as we can.
Those are certainly encouraging words. You talk about, Cindy, you talk about your rings, Psalm 34, verse 3. You mentioned swing dancing a few segments earlier. Say a little bit more of the joy that you experience in that, and maybe explain to someone who might not be as familiar with swing dancing, what is that, and what does that mean to you?
Swing dancing is something I even picked up before I met Cindy when I was in graduate school in Philadelphia, and it's just dancing to big band music, that kind of music, and there's a lot of energy, and there's a lot of moves, a lot of spinning, a lot of kicking, you know, as part of the dancing, and I introduced Cindy to that, and we just love it. We love the energy. We're both of us have huge smiles on our face. In some ways, we just feel God's presence with us, even in that space.
And you're doing it with others too, right?
Yes, yes.
That must have a nice resonating component with it, with others that are joyful and committed and in it.
It's a way to share joy with others. It's good, wholesome fun. It's great exercise, the great music. And as I said, we're just laughing the whole time, and I think it's a beautiful space to be in.
I was going to ask you about how do you balance things. You talked about, parts when one might feeling anxious about things, and when you talk about swing dancing, and I see your face light up, and when I see you talk about your children, your face lights up. There are certain things that the Lord has blessed us with within our lives, within our families, and sometimes we need to press the pause button and just behold what God is doing. Glenn Camiso, you are truly a blessing, and I want to thank you for your friendship, and thank you for coming and sharing with us today.
Thank you, Danny. It was such a blessing to be here.
Words from a servant leader in Christ. Relational words, encouraging words from Glenn Camiso, GraniteCity.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. Watch this. If you haven't done so, this might be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Would you do that? Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. If you'd like to join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, go to drdenny.live, and I thank you in advance. Mark 10:43, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Glenn Camiso, GraniteCity.org. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, 9th Avenue Studio, and guest coordinator, Jan Yee, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with the good life.